All right, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. August the 31st, 2023. Beautiful day here on the East Coast. Hope it is super duper wherever you are at. It is the last day of August. Heading into September. My birthday's coming up. You can send me all your gifts. Just kidding. But my birthday is coming up. This is a great month of September that is upon us. And yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Looking forward to some football. Big fan of football. Yeah, a lot of great stuff coming up in the fall. Sort of dealing with, I don't know, maybe the remnants of that hurricane that was down in Florida. Hope everybody's okay down there. Haven't heard a lot about it, which is weird. So I'm assuming it went okay. I don't know. But I hope everyone's all right. But it looks like we are reaping some of the benefits of that. I don't know if it's benefits. Reaping some of the repercussions of that storm, I should say, maybe. And so we're overcast and it's windy and kind of crummy. Got up this morning, went for a nice walk. It was funny. I was walking and I saw this couple walk in and the lady's like, Tom. I was like, hey, good morning. She's like, this is my husband. And I was like, hey, good morning. And yeah, just wanted to introduce me to her husband. It was like, good morning. And we talked a little bit. They're doing some, we're living some developments and they're putting the road down, right? And so she was talking to me a little bit about that. But I'm just thinking, it was just like, when in my life has anybody ever given a shit about introducing me to anybody, right? I mean, it's like, man. And all I had to do was basically just quit drinking, right?
Can't live this way, breaking all my rules again, choking on my gin. You push till I give in to the loser always wins. Somehow with his bed gone, his threats confusing what he says, but I won't live that way, though I kinda want to anyway. Kinda wanna play with all the pretty
such a good band, Half Moon Run. Sort of stuck in a Half Moon Run phase right now. Half Moon Run phase. Great band. Love that song. But yeah, it's like, God damn, how many... such a big portion of my life, people steered clear, right? If I was walking down the street, first of all, I'd never get up and go for a walk, right? These are just things I do now that I'm getting older, right? As I do come up on my birthday, I'm turning 55, you know, certain things that I didn't really give a shit about early in my life, I care about, right? I want to stay active, right? Start recognizing the gifts that we're giving, this human body, right, that we've been gifted so kind of freely, right? And, you know, a big portion of my early life, I did not care about this vehicle. I did not take care of it. I did not treat it with respect. I just abused it. And, you know, today at 55, first of all, I'm just shaking my head that I'm even still alive, right? Because I know so many people, so many of my friends are gone. Gone from drugs and alcohol or that lifestyle, right? And so And I personally, back in those days, thought I would be one of them, right? I really didn't think I had a chance. But God had better plans for me, and here I am, right? And so today I try to take care of myself, right? I try to, because peace of mind to me is super important. I like to be pretty still, right, in my thinking. I'm not perfect at it. I still struggle. I still have resentments, right? I still make decisions that I regret, right? I still do these things, not big ones, right? I get caught up on the little things today. It's nothing huge. It's usually me trying to be a better person and then the real true self-centered guy having a problem with it later, right? Someone forgot to get the memo, right? That we are trying to get better. I shared about it a little bit yesterday or the other day, I don't know, when I was talking about getting defensive, right? You know, I'm having a great conversation, an intelligent conversation like a mature, sober adult would. And then all of a sudden, one thing gets pointed out about me and all of a sudden I'm like flying off the hinges, right? Someone forgot to tell the other side of me that we're getting better. And so there are things that stick out that I still need to work on. I don't understand how someone says something to me that I don't defend myself, right? But I think the program hopefully tries to teach me that it doesn't matter what they think of me, right? It's none of my business. It's just that when they tell me, then they sort of made it my business. And then all of a sudden I get like defensive and I kind of regress a little bit, right? I sort of let that lower power back into my life. And, you know, it's not good. You know, I think about all the people that come in. There's a guy that I think about a lot that was in the rooms, went back out, came back in, went back out, came back in, and now has apparently gone back out. And, you know, one of the hard things about that is that the story, right, the scenario that we build up in our head when something like this happens. You know, an early taste of this sort of lifestyle was me in high school ditching school, right? I was a, you know, today, the, you know, if my kids are late, I get a text, right? So-and-so, son was late to school today, right? Or if my son does not, or my, you know, for some reason I have to go to the dentist or take my kids to the dentist in the morning, and they are not there, I get a text right away. Your son is absent from first period. You know, ditching isn't a thing like it used to be. When I was in high school, I went in the front door and went out the back door, right? And I try to think about this. You know, I remember, and I probably shared about this, I remember being picked on the bus, this fucking guy throwing shit at me. And it was just, I look back at it now, and I look, or if I look at another two kids going through the same situation, I'm like, just, come on, guys, just get along, right? Just relax, ain't a big deal. Stop throwing spitwads at the boy, you know. As you walk away, their world just gets more chaotic, and that's how mine was at the time. For something that seemed or appeared to be so innocent and simple, terrorized me. It was terrorizing. I had full of fear of this older kid that would fucking throw shit at me on the bus. And I don't know. I don't think he wanted to kill me, right? But I definitely think he wanted to annoy me and laugh. And it was hard, right? I remember not wanting to get on the bus. I remember there was a whole lot of things that came with it. But I started ditching school. And I remember, you know, if I can just go back the next day, I could probably come up with an excuse of why I wasn't there, but then I would choose to ditch again, right? Shit, I forgot my coffee. But yeah, I would choose to ditch again, right? And then the third day, you're like, I can't go back now. I have no excuse, and teacher's going to tell, I don't know what I thought, whatever scenario I created in my brain, but eventually I would talk myself back out of continuing to go back to class, right? And then it would just get worse, right? And I would carry it around, and you know, the lies that would come. My parents would ask me, how was school? It was fine. Just the whole, I would continue to dig myself in deeper and always thinking that there was nobody out there that would give me a hand or help me because I fucked up, right? And I wonder if that's how, you know, people like my buddy who was in and out and in and out and now is out is thinking, because I personally get a little tired of people going out. Right. And that's my problem. Right. I understand this is a disease, a spiritual malady. I understand all of this stuff. But sometimes when I put effort into you know, trying to reach out, right? Reach my hand out. And it ain't a lot of effort, right? Shaking somebody's hand. How you doing? Proud of you. You're doing great. You know, what can I do to help? Here's my number. Little things, right? But they're things. And then when somebody to go back out, I get a little pissed, right? And I shouldn't. I shouldn't, because this is the exact sort of thing that a person that keeps going out thinks. I can't go back, right? They're going to be pissed off. I mean, inside I'm pissed. If that guy walked in today, I would say, how you doing, buddy? You know, that it's not something that I say out loud. I sort of internalize it, and I get a little frustrated. And but I think, you know, if a person that keeps going back out, they start to think, man, this group's going to give up on me. I'm not going to go back. And that's not true, right? As a group, as a person from a program that helps, tries to help other people get sober, you know, the one thing I have to recognize, even though I still might get frustrated, is that this is a fucking cunning and baffling disease. And I've been in the grips of it. I've been on both sides of it. I hopefully, you know, that's it. And hopefully I don't have to go and find out what it's like to go in, out, you know, I don't want to do that. I hopefully for today, I'm going to stay sober, but I know what it's like to be in that moment. I also know what it's like to be in the moment of acting like I wanted to be sober, right? And not being honest. And who's going to be honest, right? Who's going to sit there and say, you know what, guys, I really don't want to get sober. So stop asking. Stop trying. Because I don't think that would be a great conversation. So like for me, for instance, I would say, yes, I want to quit, right? I'm sorry, I don't understand. But the reality is I never did, right? And so I know what that life is like. And so I just, you know, if you're a person that's struggling, keep coming back, right? Just keep coming back. Don't worry about it, man. It's none of our business what other people think. And believe me, we are rooting for you. Rooting for you. You know, because it takes, you know, there are those people that come in on the first try and we love them. God bless them, right? But their majority of us, it takes a couple tries, right? I came in. I did not get it on the first try. My first initial try was when I was probably 15, and I wasn't even trying, right? But the first time that I really sort of made an effort in 97, you know, I thought I was doing it, right? Didn't understand, went back out, had no clue, got back in, learned a lot, didn't do it on my first try. This is my second try, right? Second try. I'm not even saying that this is going to last. I know for today, right? I feel like I'm making the right decisions. I feel like I'm making decisions that are in a life of good, right? If you don't like God, just add a no. The life of good, right? Because that is, I think, to me, for me, my feelings, my thoughts on what God is just good, right? If you're going to be, you either do a life of bad or you do a life of God or a life of good. And, you know, and I was, you know, I don't think a lot of people realize, even a person that's struggling in and out, but that moment that you make that decision to go to a meeting, you're starting a relationship with a higher power. That is a life of good, right? You are in the light. You're in the sunshine, right? But when you choose to listen to the other voice and says, maybe we'll try drinking again, that's a life of bad, right? That's the dark side. That's our lower power, right? That's the shadowy. That's the back alleys, right? You know, my big portion of my life lived in the back alleys, the dark. You know, when I was out in California, what we were doing, we lived by the night, not by the light. And so we were running around the streets at night, you know. And but today I live in the light. I don't need to live in the shadows. And it's a life of a higher power, right? It's all in it. I didn't realize, and I've talked about it recently because I've had this sort of epiphany with the third step, and which I completely learned from those Joe and Charlie tapes that are on Spotify. The way that guy explained it, I really started to understand, you know, turning our will, our thinking, and our lives, our actions over to the care of a higher power, or God as we understood him. You know, I never realized that. You know, even when I decided to go to a meeting, that is living a life in the light, right? That's a life of a higher power. That's a relationship with good. And I never had a relationship with good. I've only had a relationship with bad. But you know, when I started coming to the program, I would get little glimpses of a relationship with good. I think early on I got too much good, right? I didn't really know how to handle the bad, and I definitely didn't know how to identify the bad. But today I sort of do. And it's, you know, I'm just really grateful for it. And I'm grateful that at some point I just decided to keep coming back, right? It wasn't looking good. I don't know how the miracle happened, to be quite honest. Well, I do know how to get the fucking shit kicked out of me. And that helps. You can always do that, right? I mean, ideally, we try to avoid complete embarrassment, humiliation, right? But I tell you what, nothing switches flips a switch in someone's life like complete humiliation, utter devastation, right? Ego devastation. The devil says, I'm out. And that's exactly what happened to me. And it happens to a lot of people, right? Utter, complete humiliation, ego devastation. And the window opens up and we can jump through, right? But that embarrassment and that shame fades away. And that's when that lower power starts coming back and having a chat. And so, you know, I guess what I'm trying to say is today is that, you know, if you're struggling, keep coming back. Just keep on coming, man. We love you. We love you and we want you back and we need you. And we understand, right? We have no opinion. And if I have one in my mind, I need to shut it up. Because this is real. And I've been through it. And how quickly I forget. So just keep coming. Keep showing up. No judgment. Now, I mean, if you go out and you come in and you go out and you come in and you go out and you come in, I don't know. I mean, maybe we need to take a better look at it, right? Maybe we're not ready. That's sort of how I was when I was a kid. I had no desire to get sober. Everybody else wanted me to get sober. I went through all the motions of getting sober, but this program just did not work. I was a black eye for the program because I could not follow directions. I couldn't stay sober. I did not want to get sober. Right? I think that happens a lot. Right? I remember coming to the program with getting my slip signed. Didn't want to get sober. I told the lady I didn't want to get sober. That is probably the darkest, deepest in an addiction that I have ever been. I was not drinking vodka in the mornings, but I'm surprised of that. You know, I talked to so many people that were drinking in the mornings, right? There was a guy that shared last night. He goes, I have no problem quitting. I just have a problem staying quit. And I was like, okay, I get that. But he said, I'd wake up in the morning, there'd be a glass of booze right by the table, and I would just wake up and drink it. And I was like, wow. Part of me was like, well, I wasn't that bad, right? Yet. I was headed there. But I tell you, that was probably the darkest point in my life. And, you know, I fucking got out of it. Somehow I got out of it. I don't know. I'm just, I guess I'm just really grateful to be sober today. And I want everybody to get sober. Let me see. Let's read Daily Reflections. Oh, here we go. August 31st, a unique program. Alcoholics Anonymous will never have a professional class. We have gained some understanding of the ancient worlds. Freely ye have received, freely give. We have discovered that at the point of professionalism, money and spirituality do not mix. Well, that's true. It's like, I mean, I said this the other day, it's not an original thought, but you can't have a life of self and a life of God, right? And to me, that is the ultimate self, is money, right? And if you're chasing the money, you can't have a relationship with a higher power. You're having a relationship with the lower power. If that's what's important to you, right? I've been there, right? We're starting to see, I was watching this thing before I came to the salon this morning about, it was like 60 Minutes Australia or something about the millennials not wanting to work. And this lady's like, well, you know, why do we have to work so much? Right? For more money, right? Why don't you just pay us more money and work less? There's some truth to that. You know, when I grew up, it was very passive aggressive. You worked, right? And if you didn't like it, tough shit. And today these folks are like, I don't think so. Let's see. That was 12 Steps and 12 Traditions, page 166. I believe that Alcoholics Anonymous stands alone in the treatment of alcoholism because it is based solely on the principles of one alcoholic sharing with another alcoholic. This is what makes the program unique. When I decided that I wanted to stay sober, I called a woman who knew was a sober member of AA, and she carried the message of Alcoholics Anonymous to me. She received no monetary compensation, but rather was paid by staying sober another day herself. Today, I could ask for no payment other than another day free from alcohol. So in that respect, I am generously paid for my labor. Absolutely. Yeah, you know, I don't know if I've ever said this, but this podcast does not make any money. We do not have any sponsors. It is not about money. It's not going to be on YouTube. I don't care about any money. Don't want any money. Don't offer any money. Don't offer me any money. Right. This isn't about money. This is about really me sitting down and chatting. Right. But if I can, like, maybe put a thought. Right. You know, I am no expert in anything. Right. I'm just sharing my chat. I'm just chatting. Right. I go do the research, read the books, get a sponsor. Don't listen to me. Right. This is just a fucking idiot just chatting. Right. Get a sponsor. I've hopefully, in the time I've ever shared on this podcast, I've shared the story that I went through, and the main part of it was, in the beginning, you know, getting that temporary sponsor, and I didn't ask, right? He asked me, you know. Oh, and I want, you know, another thing that I wanted to say is that I went to the meeting last night. Great, great meeting. Guy shared last night, older guy, fucking stood up, right? I love that. I love it. I wish I could stand up and share, right? I'm so scared. But he stood up and shared, and he put out this great message celebrating like 40 years, right? 40 freaking years of sobriety one day at a time. And but during the meeting, we, you know, that is my home group, and we took on the, we decided, right, to put out a literature rack, which is just this metal rack, right, that puts literature in it. And they said that we need someone to be in charge of the literature rack. It is a service commitment. And I said, you know what? I'd like to do it. I would like to be in charge of the literature rack. So that is my new commitment. I am now in charge of a literature rack, which is basically, I don't know, a little metal rack that holds maybe 12 pamphlets, right? Maybe if you're new or someone's new to the program and they want to learn a little bit about sponsorship or meetings or, you know, whatever it is, you know, they have a little literature rack. And we used to have meeting lists, right? And in the meeting list, there would be a thing on the back. And if someone needed a phone number, you know, if men needed a phone number or a woman needed a phone number, we could pass that individual meeting list around. And then whoever needed the list, the appropriate gender, right, would put their numbers on to try to, you know, offer support. And we don't do that as much anymore. So we do, but we don't have that pamphlet, because the meeting list used to be all the list of all the meetings, which we do still have, but now it's online, right? There's a My Meetings app, and it's really good. So, but I'm excited. I do believe service saved me and still continues to. I am not interested in doing a GSR or something of that nature. Maybe that means I should. I just don't want to. So I'm sorry. But hey, I'm going to take care of the literature rack. And I listen, if anybody ever asks me to speak, I'm always grateful. I'll take a commitment. I love doing service work. I just don't want to be a JSR. And I think it's just because it's a meeting out of the town that I have to drive to. And I just don't know. I fall short in some things, right? When it comes to that sort of that level, right, of commitment, whether I may, you know, if I need to take notes, right, or if I actually, there's something really important that I need to bring back to the group, I'm afraid I won't do a very good job at it, right? And so I guess I could try to do a better job. I guess I could take the commitment and just, and really try to be better at it. But luckily, a buddy of mine took the commitment, and he's a little nervous, right? Because it is cool. It is quite a commitment, but he prayed about it, which I thought was great. And not that he prayed, but that he used prayer, right? That is part of his tool belt, right? I love that. You know, prayer should be absolutely, I know it's part of my tool belt. When something comes along, good or bad, especially good, you know, I have to pray about it. I have to recognize because, you know, one of the things I've always struggled or not struggled with, one of the things I've always been clear on is when I fuck up and what I need to do, right? I've never been great when I have any sort of success, right? I don't know. Because like I've said before, tell me I did a great job and I want to be president of the company, right? Tell me I did a bad job and I want to jump off a cliff. I'm always familiar with the jumping off a cliff. Not very familiar, at least for a long time, as doing a great job and wanting to be president of the company, right? So I lived a big portion of my life always debating on jumping off the cliff, right? Always failing, never doing a great job. You know, one of my very first achievements that I thought that I actually did decent was when I graduated from Rutgers, right? That was my first year being sober. I could not do shit in school. It's not that I'm not smart. I just have no, I can't focus, right? I just didn't want anything out of school. But when I went to Rutgers, I really, really, really wanted to do this. I think my ego really wanted me to succeed at this. Because honestly, the job in the end, I hated it, right? But I think I was impressed by my boss at the time, and I wanted to be a lot like him. I was very new to sobriety, right? I had spent such a big portion of my life in the gutter, in the dark, in the shadows, right? And I finally had come out into the light, and I wanted to take full advantage of it. I wanted to do good, right? I wanted to be like everybody else. I wanted to be like my buddy Eddie, you know? I want to be successful. Right? Because if I can just do that, it'll make all of my past go away. And what I learned is that's not true, right? And I learned I also don't want it to go away, right? We don't shut the door on our past, right? We don't regret it. We're aware of it. We learn from it. But I definitely wanted to start being a fucking decent person. And so my ego, I think, was involved. But I'm going to succeed, and I graduated. I just happened to graduate into a program and into a career that I would hate, right? Because even what got me into that, I mean, how many things have we done in our lives did we do because we thought it was the right thing, but later on it would turn out that like ego and pride and you know, all these weird things were really the motivator behind it, right? And then we achieve and then we're stuck in it. We're like, why did I do this, right? How did I get stuck in this? Listen, I loved working on golf courses. I loved it. But I am a blue-collar guy, right? I'm a worker amongst worker. And, you know, I like doing the hard stuff. And when I got that degree in turf management, then I became white-collar management. And I just didn't fit in, right? I was a wolf in sheep's clothing, right? I was still a worker amongst workers, trying to do this other sort of job. And it was a real battle for me and just did not like it, right? Did not like it. And I didn't like it when people didn't like me because of the job I had to do, right? But that's part of when you're a manager or you're running that, you're at that level, there's just going to be people that don't like you because of it, right? And I did not like that. And so, whatever, you know, here I am. Now I'm a hairdresser and I absolutely love being a hairdresser. I don't worry about anything today. I enjoy it. And I'm super grateful for that. Anyway, not much going on. Just kind of hanging. Anyway, so the computer started to freak out. I'm going to have to blend some things together here. But listen, I appreciate you for letting me share. Just keep coming back. I guess that was what I was thinking about today, is if you're struggling out there, just keep coming back. We are not judging you. We love you. We need you. We love you until you learn to love yourself. And I learned that from a great guy, my buddy Matt. So have a great day. Later.
little time.